Multinational conglomerates are making money. Should you care?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Bill Radke. Welcome to the Morning Open, our look at business and the economy as Wall Street starts the day. Some of the giant corporations that sell around the globe are telling us about their earnings this morning. We'll tell you how they might affect you right after we find out how they affect stocks. Where's Wall Street? Very affected this morning. The Dow Industrials are up 149 points at 10,270. Both the NASDAQ and S&P 500 are up more than a percent and a half. This morning's earning reports are mostly pretty rosy. Caterpillar, 3M, UPS, AT&T. They say profits are up and they have improved their profit predictions. So, Wall Street seems to like these earnings reports. Does that mean you should? We turn to economist Diane Swonk at Mesirow Financial. She joins us every Thursday live from Chicago. Good morning, Diane.
Good morning.
Caterpillar, 3M, these are huge global manufacturers. UPS ships stuff all over the world. If their overseas business is improving, how much does that help us here where we need it in the United States?
Well, certainly trade has been a critical component, the return of global trade in supporting the global economy and the global recovery. That said, you know, many of the profits that we're seeing on Wall Street are coming without a lot of job gains. So we're seeing profit margins rise and trade improve, and jobs at Caterpillar are being kept because of the situation in global trade. That's the good news. The bad news is we've yet to see many jobs added, and in fact, the downward pressure on incomes that we've seen have actually gone to the bottom line of many profits out there.
Well, yeah, you mentioned job gains. The government said this morning new claims for unemployment benefits rose again significantly last week. So that's just a weekly number. How bad a sign is it? And how much could, if not now, could these emerging economies help our unemployment somewhere down the road?
They're very critical to helping our unemployment down the road. In fact, what we really need to see is China become even more of a consumer, because the only place we're really selling vehicles today, more vehicles than in the U.S., is China and places like that, the developing economies that have all that pent-up demand and have consumers that have yet to really even move into the middle class, let alone be tapped out like we do in the U.S. That said, I think it's really important to understand the unemployment numbers is that, you know, they were artificially suppressed because we had plant closings and we had discontinued a lot of unemployment insurance. People didn't re-up. And now that we've extended unemployment insurance again, a lot of noise in this data going forward. Those unemployment claims are going to rise as people reapply for unemployment insurance that they lost at the end of June.
Okay. Very interesting. Economist Diane Swonk at Mesirow Financial. Thanks for that.
Thank you.
So here is more about this theme of a divide between Wall Street and Main Street. We asked our Wall Street reporter, Jeremy Hobson, to get out of Manhattan and see how Americans are living through this recession. He joins us now from Main Street in downtown Memphis, Tennessee. Good morning, Jeremy.
Good morning, Bill.
How has the recession manifested itself in Memphis?
Well, you know, the unemployment rate here is higher than the national average, but where you really see the recession is when you go into some of the neighborhoods, the residential neighborhoods, and you see one in every three houses on some of these streets are boarded up, the yards are overgrown, they've been foreclosed on. I was in one neighborhood in South Memphis and spoke with a woman named Kim Watkins, who is living in a house right between two abandoned homes, and she says squatters have taken over the neighborhood.
They come in, do all kind of illegal things. That this house just got broken and kicked, the door kicked in because the car was not here. And you're afraid to tell them, leave, you know. They shoot up your houses, all kind of thing. We got kids here, so it's just like jail in your own home, if you ask me.
Wow. Jeremy, that's hard to hear. Who does Kim hold responsible for her situation?
Well, you know, I asked her, who does she blame? And she said that she blames the city for not trying to come up with a way to keep people in their homes. And she also blames the big banks. Now, the city is going after one of the big banks that's been responsible for a lot of the mortgages here in Memphis, Wells Fargo. The city is suing Wells Fargo, saying that Wells Fargo targeted African-Americans in Memphis and got a lot of them into subprime loans that when the rates skyrocketed up, people couldn't afford them and foreclosure happened.
Marketplace's Jeremy Hobson is in Memphis and driving through Tennessee. Jeremy, thank you.
You're welcome, Bill.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by LendingTree, offering the ability to manage money, credit, and loans all in one place. LendingTree.com.
General Motors said this morning it is buying the auto financing company AmeriCredit so that it can lease more vehicles and make more loans to buyers with low credit scores. And Chrysler Financial may be diving back into the lending business. Remember, last year, the Obama administration said these companies wouldn't survive without a big infusion of cash. Now, though, more people are buying cars, and Marketplace's Elisa Roth tells us Chrysler Financial is beginning to make money on loan payments.
Chrysler Financial says it never really got out of the loan business, but it hasn't been Chrysler Auto's main lender for a while, and now it says it's looking at originating more loans again. Bill Visnick is senior editor at Edmunds Auto Observer, and he says with banks tightening their standards, there are certainly plenty of opportunities for other lenders.
You know, what you're seeing is a lot of these car companies and the lenders, you know, starting to look at what's going on in this very dynamic sort of environment and say, wow, there are some real openings for us.
The new regulatory environment may be helping, too. John Pato is a law professor at the University of Michigan, and he says consumers may never have such easy access to credit from traditional sources again, which is all the more reason to get into the lending business.
People are buying cars again, and there is still money to be made and sales to be enhanced by having auto lending.
Car loans tend to be safer than other kinds of consumer loans because people are so dependent on their vehicles, they'll make their car payments even if they can't pay off other bills. I'm Elisa Roth for Marketplace.
And finally, a study by Britain's Institute of Leadership and Management reveals that 80% of workers respond frequently to emails while they're on summer vacation. 40% return to the office feeling no more relaxed than when they left. So please, if you are about to head off to an isolated mountain cabin, remember, you can follow me on Twitter at Bill Radke Radio. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. In Los Angeles, I'm Bill Radke.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.